Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 6. Mandaratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajita anatmanastishaktutve vatetat maivashatuvat. Translation. For one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. Mukam makaroti vachalam bangam langhyate girim yakipantamam bande shri gurum tiritavinam Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur miritam yena tasamai shri gurave. So my lecture today is in two parts, and we may not have time for the second part. We'll just see how it goes. But I'll tell you what it is anyway, so then you can figure it out yourself, even if I don't get to it. The first part is, who is the enemy, and what can we do about it? And the second part is, how Krishna protects us from our enemies. So that's the second part. The first part is what we have to do. And first of all, we have to identify the enemy. There is a famous saying, we have met the enemy. And the enemy is us. It's not anybody else. It's ourselves is the greatest enemy. But the wonderful thing is that our greatest enemy is also, can be, our greatest friend. Can you imagine that? Maybe some of you have enemies. Can that enemy be your best friend? Or can your best friend be your worst enemy? But we all have our best friend and our worst enemy within. So I'll read you the purport. The purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. Now, in the first sentence here, Prabhupada says, we all have a mission. Does everybody know what is their mission in life? Who can tell me what is your mission? Is it to make $1 million? Is it to live in Potomac? Is it, who can tell me what is the human mission? The human mission. Now this is, I guess this gives you a clue. Human mission, yes? Go back to Godhead. Very good. Does anybody have anything else, any other mission that they would like to say at this time? Yes? Yes?
To continue to serve the Lord to the best of his ambition
without respecting where we are. Okay, so he doesn't even mind if he doesn't go back to Godhead. He'll just serve the Lord wherever he is. Okay, we've got two choices here for devotees. Yes?
To create the happiness.
To create happiness in society. Yes, that is the devotee's desire. Krishna matir us too. The devotee's blessing is that let Krishna always be with you, and if Krishna is with you, then you'll be happy. Because without Krishna, it's like the branch detached from the tree. Cannot have happiness. So, very nice. So you are aware of your mission, and for those of you who weren't aware, now you may be aware of what is your mission in life. So, who is the enemy? I think I read, I gave you the, no. I didn't tell you. Okay, so I'll tell you who is the enemy. And then I'll see if you listen properly and you can tell me who is the enemy. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy. Thus his life and its mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. Okay, so, who is the enemy?
Mind.
Now, the mind has some friends also, and they can also be the enemy. So, who are the friends of the mind?
Lust.
Oh, these are not friends, no. Sorry.
Enemy.
Friends of, or somebody who lives with the mind, together with the mind. There's the mind, and then there's intelligence, and there's senses. Very good. So these are together with the mind. And yes, now the enemy is the mind, but not just the mind, a certain kind of mind. Uncontrolled mind. So there are six types of enemies here that can make the mind uncontrolled. Now, the controlled mind is very nice, but the uncontrolled mind is the enemy. So what makes the mind uncontrolled? Six things: kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, and matsarya. Now, if you don't know Sanskrit, I'll translate it. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and enviousness. So these are the enemies. The mind is not necessarily the enemy, actually. The mind is the enemy when it's controlled by these six things. So, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam. Because some people think, especially in India, that spiritual life means you leave your house, you go out, you take sannyas, you forget everything. And that's why a lot of Indian people are really worried when their children start taking the Krishna consciousness, because they think, oh no, now who's going to take care of me in my old age? Because they want to send the kid to the West so he can get a big job and lots of money and take care of them. So, no, it's not true. So here's a verse from Bhagavatam. Even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage because he is living with six co-wives. Now, who are the six wives that we live with? The mind and the senses. Then these can also be our enemies if they're uncontrolled. But even householder life cannot harm a self-satisfied learned man who has conquered his senses. Now, when Arjuna heard this yoga system, and Arjuna is a very, very advanced personality, he said to Krishna, I cannot do this. Why? Because the mind is like the wind. The mind is like the wind. Try to control the wind. Not possible. Not possible. I think you had some windstorm a couple of weeks. Could you control that wind? Could anybody control? Could the scientist control that wind? No. So, this is how the mind is. The mind is just like that very ferocious wind. Now, but a very interesting thing about the wind is that the wind is can be one of our gurus. In the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, there are 24 gurus, and one of them is the wind. Now, the wind is compared to the mind. Sometimes it blows in many directions at once, and everything becomes agitated, so our mind sometimes goes in so many directions at once, and we become agitated. So, if we are always constantly saying, oh, I want that, I don't like that, then that is how the mind goes in different directions, and it's like the wind. But there is also a nice thing we can learn from the wind, that the wind, it sometimes blows over the garbage dump, and it carries a very bad odor. But then it drops it. And then it goes to the rose garden, and it carries a very nice odor, and then it drops it. So in our lives, sometimes we have a bad smell and sometimes we have a good smell. So, but we should not be attached to the bad smell or the good smell. We should go through life like the wind, not to be attached. So this is, we should learn from the wind this art of going through life like that. So how do we lose control? Again, these six things: kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, and matsarya. And the interesting thing about these six things is it all begins with lust. And lust leads us down the road through the other five things. How is that? So first is kama, lust. We want something very badly, but then we don't get it. Krodha, anger. And then we're so angry that we get greedy. Oh, I must have it. Doesn't matter what I do. So kama, krodha, lobh, then moha. Illusion. You forget who you are. You forget even that you're a human being sometimes. And you do crazy things. So kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, madness. It leads to madness. And people, they get mental illness from these things. I have a book called Heal Your Body. And it tells all the different diseases and what mental illness is behind it, just like cancer. If you get cancer, it's because you're very resentful against somebody and you're holding it inside yourself and it's eating you up. So cancer eats you up until you die. So that according to our mental state, it can even affect our health. Madness, we can become mad. And matsarya, envy. Finally, you want something that doesn't belong to you. That's envy. So, this is a symptom of our society today, that there's greed for wealth, and there's a verse in Bhagavatam that 15 undesirable qualities come from hoarded wealth. Theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, enmity, faithlessness, envy, and the dangers caused by illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. So these are 15 undesirable qualities. Now, what to do? So this is the first part. Who is the enemy? Now we know who is the enemy. Now what to do? How can we control the mind? Narottam Das Thakur has a very nice solution. That you can transform all of these bad things into good things if you use them in Krishna consciousness. Now this is a very difficult thing. Now how can you use kama? Kama doesn't simply mean lust for sex life. It also means desires for things of this world. So how can you transform that? How can you transform your desires? So Prabhupada gives us an idea how to do that. He says a person in this world works hard day and night because of his material desires. So a devotee should also work hard like that day and night for Krishna. And we have very nice examples here in our temple. Janamashtami is coming. And one devotee, she stayed up till midnight last night sewing, and she's been sewing for 8 days already for the flower outfit. So this is an example of kama in Krishna's service. And we can all do that. Kama, krodha, that was anger. Hanuman, he did that. Of course, we have to be careful with that, because our process is to not to kill everyone like Krishna did when he came, but Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, and he kills demoniac mentality by the holy name. That is our weapon. That was Lord Chaitanya's weapon. That was the holy name. So you can use the weapon of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So kam, krodh, I think you're going to help me here. Now, greed. How can we use greed in Krishna's service? Greed. What should we be greedy for? More service. Okay. That's a good idea. Anything else we should be greedy for? Dosha service? Prasadam. Okay, well, there's a limit to that. because we don't have spiritual bodies. But that's okay. I mean, it's a good start. Actually, it's very interesting you should say that, because I heard a lecture recently by Srila Prabhupada. I was chanting my japa, and I was thinking, oh, why can't I see Krishna? I've been chanting for 40 years now, and still I don't see Krishna when I chant. Then I heard a lecture in that same day by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, why do you want to see Krishna with your eyes? I said, oh, okay, then what? How to see? He said, you have to see Krishna with your tongue. And he said, if you taste prasadam, he says, you can taste Krishna. I said, okay, well, there you go. Prasadam. And we'll have a good chance today. We'll get to try this out. We'll have a practical application after the class where you can try to taste Krishna. But it's actually true. The holy name also, there's a taste. Prabhupada said, just like if someone says, let me see this pizza. Up there, they have some pizza. Let me see it. I mean, is seeing going to, is that what you mean by seeing? No, you have to taste it. Let me taste it means let me see it. So just like we have to go there and we taste it, or we taste the prasadam. So Prabhupada said, when you taste prasadam, you can see Krishna. It's a very easy way to see Krishna. So that's that's greed. Okay, moha, illusion. Is there illusion in Krishna's service? Is that possible? No ideas. Yes. Pardon me. Oh, okay, that's illusion. Okay, we think we're the best devotee. Yeah, that could be an illusion. But how can you use it in Krishna's service? So that one would be a hard thing. That would be hard to use in Krishna's service. I'm the best devotee. unless it makes you serve the other devotees. If you're the best servant, then that's good. And, oh, I better serve more devotees. Huh? Yeah? Oh, okay, that's a good example. Yashoda, Maya, and Nanda, they forgot Krishna is my son. Good. So that's a very exalted example. How can we be illusioned in Krishna's, how can we use moha in Krishna's service? Is it possible? How can we be illusioned? Maybe it's not possible. Yes?
Basically, on this project, even though he's there with us, doing everything with us, we are always the illusion that sometimes we forget that he's not here.
Okay, well, yeah, okay, that's real illusion, that we forget Krishna's here. For me, I can tell you practical experience. Illusion for me is when I forget to eat, because I never forget to eat. But two times I forgot to eat because I was so engaged in devotional service. Now that's illusion, I think, for me anyway, as a practical example. That you're working so hard, and then I went and I said, oh, did I eat breakfast? You know, usually it's did I chant my Gayatri? Yeah, but no, this time was, did I eat my breakfast? Yeah, okay. Prabhupada gives an example of illusion for a devotee. Oh, if I don't see Krishna, if I don't see a devotee, then I'm just finished. He said, Jagayatam, this world is finished. Prabhupada said, this is illusion. To see the world is zero, nothing. The world is nothing to me because I cannot see Krishna. Well, this is illusion. And Lord Chaitanya also showed us what it means to be mad for Krishna. I think our devotees also do that if they stay up till midnight chanting and have a stop. I think right now what's going on in Poland, this Woodstock festival, that's kind of madness because they're going 24 hours kirtan and they have 100,000 people jumping and dancing wildly. That's madness, I think, to stay up so late and a non-stop kirtan. I mean, many people will think it's mad. Devotees, they don't think so. But the older generation, maybe, of devotees. Like for me, it would be mad. I couldn't do that. I see how the Gurukulis, they can go on and play drum for hours and hours. Yes. And enviousness. Enviousness, you have to think about that. So there's one last thing in this first part that I'd like to talk about. And I think a lot of you have heard about this. And so I'm going to ask you a question, and if you've already heard the answer to this, I don't want you to raise your hand. I want somebody who has not heard this to raise their hand. And it's a very simple old Indian fable. It was even in the Back to Godhead in the cover for months. Two dogs fighting. How many have heard of this story about two dogs fighting? Okay, well, you're all qualified to answer. Two dogs fighting. So in our heart, as described, there are two dogs fighting. One is the spiritual dog, one is the material dog. Which one is going to win? So I heard somebody say the spiritual dog. How do you know? How do you know which one is going to win? But don't, if you know the answer already, don't tell me. See, you know, that's why. Yes? Yeah, that's the answer. I'm sure you knew that. So the answer is, the one who will win is the one you feed the most. So, what do we feed our material dog? What is food for our enemy? The material dog, the uncontrolled mind, the calm crowed look. What do we feed the material dog? Sense enjoyment, let's be specific. Well, like TV, like movies, like junk food, like what else?
Achievements,
material achievements. Okay.
Intoxication.
Okay, that's something we can feed our material dog. Make our dog happy. Yes. What else?
Ambitions,
material ambitions. Okay, good, good.
Politics. Too much competition.
Okay, good. So, what do we feed the spiritual dog now? So, we got to be clear on this point. So, then when you leave from here, you'll know. what to feed the spiritual dog. Yeah?
Holy name.
Holy name.
Krishna.
Prasad. Same one. Prasad, okay.
Spiritual politics.
Okay. Spiritual politics. Simplicity. Devotee association.
Awareness.
Yeah. Awareness means Krishna awareness.
Reading
scriptures. Hearing. Chanting, remembering all the 9 processes of devotional service, praying, yes, doing service. Good. So all of you know what to do after you leave here today. Try to feed your spiritual dog. And if your material dog starts barking and biting, then don't listen and give him spiritual food instead. Here's the holy name. Be quiet. So yes, we have to make the mind a friend. And Prabhupada says this, when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. So who would like to meet the Lord in the heart? Do we have some yogis here? Yeah? A few. A few. Who would like to go back to Godhead here? Yeah. Good. So, in case you don't, then you should associate with those people who do. And we have a few here in the audience. So they can help you out to tell you why you should want to go back to Godhead and everything else. Why you should want to meet the Sokhaso in the heart. It's a very wonderful experience, I'm told. When you meet Krishna in the heart, this is the perfection of yoga. Then as soon as you meet Sokhaso, every moment is new. Like my son Govinda, when he was 15 years old, he said to me, you know, Mom, if I could just talk to Sokhaso, I wouldn't be bored anymore. And I said, yeah, you can. There's a way. You can talk to Sokhaso. But who wants to take the way? This is the problem. You have to chant Hare Krishna. And that will give you access to the Lord in the heart. This chanting, because the Lord in the heart, he is the intelligence, the reservoir of intelligence. So if you ever need any more intelligence, chant Hare Krishna. And it will all come to you. Of course, that's not the purpose of japa, but it does happen. So anyway, we want to control our mind. We want to make our mind a friend. We want to have our friend inside of us instead of the enemy. So that is the purpose of yoga, bhakti yoga included. So we do have a little time, so I will go into the second part of this class, and that is how Krishna, or what Krishna protects us from. What enemies or what problems, what obstacles does Krishna protect us from? So one interesting thing is, if you could see on the bottom of Krishna's foot, you would see many things, many symbols. And one of them is a chakra. And the chakra, if you meditate on the chakra, it cuts down your 6 enemies. So, here's the first thing that Krishna protects you from. If any of you have anxiety about money and future maintenance, Krishna will protect you from that anxiety. Prabhupada says, and Krishna says in Gita, for those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry to them what they lack and preserve what they have. So if you're lacking something, Krishna will give it to you. And if you have something, Krishna will protect it. So this is one thing. He'll protect you from that anxiety that what's going to happen to me in the future. So the second thing he'll protect you from is fall down. Devotees, because they're on the transcendental level, they're engaged in devotional service, sometimes they can fall down. Fall down means they forget Krishna, they go away, and they stop their practice. So, and there are many examples from this in Srimad Bhagavatam, but if you're strongly situated in devotional service, Krishna will protect you. Even if you may fall down, Krishna will bring you back, because he won't let you get away. There are many examples, we don't have time now to go into these. Third thing Krishna will protect you from is Maya. So Maya means all the things that the material dog wants to eat in this world. So that protection you'll have, protection from anartas. These are bad qualities like lust, anger, greed, and all these things in the heart. You'll get protection. And also sometimes we see somebody joins and they have some bad qualities. So Krishna will take away those bad qualities and give you good qualities instead. That's another thing to protect you from. And also sinful desires. Sometimes we have desires to do things which are not really good for us. So he'll protect you from that. So the last question is, when? When do you get this protection? When does it start? At what point in your devotional service? At what point? Yes?
When you surrender.
When you surrender, okay. When you surrender, it starts. Anybody else have some ideas? When will this protection start? Huh? Right away. You're right. Right away. Prabhupada says this. Because Maharaj Ambarish, he was attacked by Durvasa Muni. And Prabhupada, in a purport, he says a very wonderful thing which will give us all hope. He said, before anything happened, Krishna arranged for his protection. This protection is offered to a devotee, even from the very beginning of his devotional service. Isn't that wonderful? So, if you just chant Hare Krishna once, you're protected. And if you just come to the temple and see the deities and you take Charanamrita, you're protected. And the more you come, the more you're protected. So, yayatamam prapadyante tamasataiva bhajamyam, as they surrender to me, surrender is... So if you come here, that's surrender, because you could stay at home and watch TV or do something else. Surrender, coming to the temple requires surrender. It requires, it's not easy to go all the way from your home and come here. So, okay, surrender, very good. And he got the right answer, so we don't need to go further. But if we just keep engaged in devotional service, we can be assured of Krishna's protection. Try to feed the spiritual dog as much as possible, because we are starving. And the starvation is not from lack of food. It's from lack of spiritual food. And who feeds? Who gives us spiritual food? Who feeds our spiritual dog out there in the material world? Nobody is interested to feed our spiritual dog. Prabhupada went to lecture in the MIT in Boston. That's where I joined, in Boston. And Prabhupada said, where is the department of the soul? And they said, oh, sorry, we don't have such a department of the soul. Only material things are here. If you want to be a technologist, then you come here. But not if you want to know. And this is the mission of life. All these other things are not, they are feeding the material dog. Okay, so we will stop here. We want to make the mind our friend and try to feed your spiritual dog so your mind will become your friend and not your enemy. So are there any questions or comments about this? Yes.
We talked about how there's a material dog and a spiritual dog.
Right.
Yeah. Some of the aspects of feeding a material dog is having goals and ambitions.
Yeah, right. It means you have to add the word material. Okay. Goals, ambitions. So material goals, material ambitions. I would always add the word to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you is, in the Gita, when Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight,
right, defeating the enemy.
How is
it spiritual? Because he asked Arjuna to fight with the goal of defeating his enemies. So, actually the goal was not to defeat his enemies. The goal was to please Krishna. Because Arjuna didn't want to fight. Arjuna said, no, it doesn't matter, they're my family, how can I fight? Arjuna is ready to forgive. But Krishna said, no. I want you to fight. You surrender to me. You listen to me. So to please Krishna, Arjuna fought. That was his goal, to make Krishna happy. That was the goal of fighting, and that's the end of Bhagavad Gita. Give up all your other goals. Sarva dharma paritya. You may have so many goals, so many dharmas. Give them up. and just surrender to me. Listen to me. Mama kam sharanam vraja. So Arjuna did that.
So if you don't mind, follow-up question is,
yeah.
Arjuna had the blessing of having Krishna here.
Yes.
What about us?
What about us who don't have Krishna here? Well, I'll tell you something. We do have Krishna here. The Bhagavad Gita is for all time, all place, all circumstance. When Krishna left this world, then Arjuna was defeated. He didn't know what to do. So at that point, he was defeated by some coward men. He said, I'm the same Arjuna, I have the same bow, I have the same chariot, the same horses, but they're useless without Krishna. So what did he do at that point when he realized, oh, I have no power now without Krishna? He remembered Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna wasn't there, but his Gita was there. So he remembered. So when we're in that situation, Krishna spoke not only for Arjuna, he spoke for us. So when we're in that situation, we need to remember Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, and we can have the same solace that Arjuna got. It is for us now, these words. Bhagavad Gita. Yes?
Similar question, but two devotees here mentioned when they said, what should we give up? Two different people said ambition.
Ambition, yeah, exactly.
I'm curious, because that would mean, let's say, if you're a student, one might walk away thinking that Narayani said, okay, don't be ambitious to get good grades. Or
right.
Your mother, don't be ambitious to make
right.
sure your child is strong and healthy, or your business
right.
Don't be ambitious to build your business, or if you're a politician, don't be ambitious to try to have any power to influence
mm-hmm.
the world. So it kind of sounds like you're encouraging everyone just to sit here and renounce the world, but I don't think that's what you mean.
No, not at all. No. We have to work, Krishna, as he urged Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, not to give up your duty. So we do our duty, but in Krishna consciousness. So the mother does her duty, she takes care of the child, the businessman does his duty, but all of them try to do their duty in Krishna consciousness, whatever that takes, whatever that means to them. If you have a material ambition without Krishna, then it will be difficult for you. That will be feeding the material dog. But if you have an ambition and you want to use it in Krishna's service, that will definitely help you. It's not that you give up the ambition, you give up the work, you give up everything. It's not like that. But you give up your mentality of trying to enjoy. That's what we do have to give up something. But it's that mentality of trying that this is mine and it is for me, and forget Krishna. Yeah.
How come the material dog is so wrong?
How come the material dog is so wrong?
What do we do, like, if we really eat him?
What do we?
What do we do with material dog if we really eat him? You know,
what do we do with our material dog if we just don't feed him? Yeah. Feed the spiritual dog instead. So you want to see some nice, beautiful things, you come here to the temple and you see. You come for Janamashtami instead of going to the rock festival. Janamashtami festival, we have our festivals also. Rath Yatra, you come for Rath Yatra. And you make your home a temple and you offer your food first. And that will help you in your spiritual life. If you offer your food to a picture of Krishna, then that purifies, that's prasadam. You can do it too. It's not necessarily just to come to temple to have prasadam. You can offer your food and you can feed your spiritual dog right at home. Your favorite preparations, but no meat, fish, and eggs. Krishna doesn't eat that. Yeah, any other questions? Yes?
But don't you think that it's really hard to control the mind, as you say, it's like a wind?
Okay, don't you think it's really hard to control the mind? It's like the wind. Yes, therefore Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's how many of us were able to leave our material dogs and come to spiritual life by chanting Hare Krishna. Very powerful mantra. Mantra. So what does mantra mean? Man means mind, tra means to deliver or control. So the more you chant and the more you can control your mind, and the more you eat Krishna prasadam, the more you do all these things, then your mind will be controlled. Okay? anything else?
What happens to the material dog for pure devotees?
What happens to material dog for the pure devotee?
They die.
Does the material dog die? Ah, that's a very good question. What happens to him? He becomes the friend of the spiritual dog, and he also becomes spiritual. Yeah. He becomes a devotee. Your material dog will also become a devotee. So your material mind will become a devotee. It will become spiritual, and it will help you. And then your material dog will say, go to the temple. I like the spiritual food better now. I want some more prasadam. Why are you giving me this other stale food? I don't like it anymore. I want this prasadam. It's better. Yes, you'll make your material dog into a devotee dog. Yes, we have devotee dogs. Slovakia, Nueka Chakra Farm. So there was a devotee dog, and he was really a puppy. He was really scared of the non-devotee dogs. But then one devotee dog came, big, huge one, and he was running after and being friends with. He wasn't afraid of the devotee dog. So, you have to make your material dog a devotee dog, and your material mind a devotee mind. And then it's your friend, and it helps you. It will make you come to the temple. It will make you. It will force you. Just like my granddaughter, she is forcing my son. She gets up in the morning and she wants to see the morning program at Mayapur every day without fail. So he has to go to the morning program and he has to also clap and do everything. And so it's really good. Even though he likes to sleep, but it's better. It's good. Okay, so should we stop here now? Would you like time for announcements? Do we have time? Do we have one more question? We don't. So, thank you very much.